Turning to the economy now, and another casualty of the credit crunch and high gas prices is the car leasing industry. GMAC is North America's largest auto lender. It announced last month that it is ending incentives on car leases.
Other lenders like Chrysler and Ford are pulling back too. Thanks to the falling value of trucks and SUVs, the lenders have found leasing is now a financial pitfall for them. Here with us, Day-to-Day's personal finance contributor, Michelle Singletary. Michelle, isn't leasing pretty popular these days?
It definitely is popular. It began to become more popular in the mid to late 1990s, and now about 19% of vehicles driven out of showrooms last year were leased, according to Edmunds.com. And automobile leasing expanded about 21% between 2005 and 2006. So lots of people are thinking leasing is the way to go. Clearly, you know me, I'm like buy rather than lease, because really what you're doing is you're leasing something that you can't afford to buy.
Well, leasing is not ending. What's ending is the incentives for leasing. So what is this going to mean for consumers?
That's exactly right. The auto lenders are pulling back from leasing because it's not as profitable. And that means all these incentives that they got to try to get you to lease are going to, you know, a lot of them are going to go away, which means your lease payments are going to be more expensive, especially on the larger vehicles, because they're finding that when they come back from the lease, they have to take less money for them. So that means leasing is not going to be as easy for people, which is a good thing.
It's a good thing because you just think you have to buy the car that you can afford, not lease the one that's really more than you can afford.
That's exactly right. Listen, leasing was sold because it is true that on a month-to-month basis, some leases are less expensive than if you bought that exact same car. But that's short-term thinking. If you plan your life financially long-term, it's better to buy your car using a four-year or less loan and keep it forever until, you know, they push you off the road or you are on a first-name basis with the local tow truck drivers. And then the money that you save in the ensuing years, you can bank that so the next time you need a car, you can pay for it outright. But I think people who are very conscious about trying to preserve as much of their wealth as possible know that it's better to buy than to lease, and buy a car you can afford. It may be that all that you can afford is an $8,000 used car until you build up your income to afford the car that you really want.
Well, what about this? What about as soon as you do buy that new car, you drive it off the lot, it loses, what, 20% of its value just driving off the lot? Every year it's going to lose 15-20% of its value. So you're buying a depreciating asset, aren't you?
That's right. You know, people bring this argument up to me all the time. Oh, it's a depreciating asset. You shouldn't put money in a depreciating asset. It sounds really sophisticated, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But let's look at this.
That's why I threw it in there.
Yeah, I know. Thank you, Alex. You're so smart. But listen, you don't rent your clothes. You don't rent your furniture. This is something that you're going to have a useful value for even after you pay for it. It's true that it loses its value, but you're going to hold on to it because hopefully you're going to keep it running well. You're going to do the regular maintenance. And if you keep your car long term, how much it's worth will not matter because you're not selling it. It only matters if you're going to sell it. I keep my cars on average about 10 years. And when I'm done, I give it to someone who needs a car. The last car my husband and I had that was used, we gave it to my niece, who was a college student in Atlanta. And she's still using it a couple years later. And it's like a 10-year-old car. So if you're not going to have to trade this car in, which you shouldn't have to, then what it's worth over the years should not matter.
Michelle Singletary, personal finance columnist for The Washington Post. She writes The Color of Money there every week. Michelle, thank you.
You're welcome.